Can you clarify whether the recommendation is to call agenda item 4 or agenda item 5? I'm a little confused on that point.
We have two representatives here from Redway, so I would call Redway now.
Okay. Yes, we will take a 10-minute break. Back into order. The next item will be Redway, and this is the time and place for a hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider adoption of Administrative Civil Liability Order Number R1-2007-0010 for Redway Community Services District. This item has been properly noticed. A sheet explaining the procedures for this hearing is available at the handout table. Will all those who expect to give testimony in this matter please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath. Do you swear or affirm that you'll tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
And I, what will be helpful to me is when you testify, just indicate you were sworn in, and then that way it's very clean. With that, we will begin with a staff presentation. For the folks from Redway, you will be allowed to ask questions of staff and the different presenters. We have enforcement staff and then advisory staff to the board, and you'd be able to ask questions to anyone who testifies. Okay, is that understood? Okay. With that, we'll begin with the staff presentation.
Mr. Chairman, could I also ask that the staff, each team be identified by name for the record?
Yes, I think that would be good. At the start of your presentation, identify your name and which, who you represent.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Luis Rivera. I'm your assistant executive officer.
I'm Tom Dunbar, staff engineer. I will be presenting on behalf of the enforcement team.
I'm Kim Niemeyer, and staff counsel. And for this item, I'm advising the enforcement team.
Okay.
And for the advisory team, I'm Catherine Coleman, your executive officer.
For the advisory team, Samantha Olson, staff counsel.
Okay. With that, we'll begin with the presentation by the enforcement team.
Well, almost everything you have is in your agenda. You did get a copy of the PowerPoint presentation, and also you just got a handout with a table in it of payments to the cleanup and abatement account, and we'll talk about that. That is the issue regarding this hearing. First, I wanted to show you what the Redway community is, where it is, where the treatment plant is, and what that is, a little education in case you haven't been there. I'll be very brief on it. The Regional Water Board issued a complaint in August for mandatory minimum penalties of effluent violations occurring from January 2000 up until about a year ago, last year sometime. And they are a small community. They meet the definition. They do not contest the effluent limit violations that we put in the complaint. They proposed a compliance project. They do qualify. The compliance project will be completed this year, as my understanding. They do have the ability to pay for it. The compliance project is $98,000. The amount of the penalty, I'm going to have to look it up here, it's $18,000. So they have a compliance project that's far and above the amount of the penalty. And I'll go into that a little bit as I just show you these few slides on what the Redway CSD wastewater plant is. You might want to look at your handout of the PowerPoint because this is kind of difficult to see in this light. But the community of Redway, this is a USGS quadrangle. Community of Redway is located just west of the old Highway 101 and east of, this is the South Fork of the Eel River. And it's fairly well confined on a hillside here. You can see in the photograph an aerial view showing the layout of the community. There's a steep bluff down to the South Fork of the Eel River. And then across the river, this is the YMCA camp. And then the wastewater treatment facility is located north of that on this large flat. And you can see that on your quad sheet right here. It says sewage disposal. There's a large, gently sloping area. And one thing that they did was had to put in some percolation trenches on another flat. They have a effluent line cabled across, I think this is Leggett Creek, but across this creek, and they do have some disposal trenches here that they use during the summer period because the basin plan prohibits wastewater discharges into the Eel River during the period of May 30 to, or May 15th to September 30th. So they use those trenches. And they actually use the trenches right up until heavy rains set in. So they'll use the trenches all but, say, November to April. And I might add that in order to get wastewater from the town to the other side of the river, the wastewater line goes down this road to a lift station, which in this case the lift station would be next to the river here, and they pump under the river. There is a line. It's actually a dual-cased line. It's a line within a line so that if there's a leak, it's contained in an outer line, and it's buried under the river, and it goes over to the wastewater plant. It goes right through the YMCA camp underground here. This is an aerial view, and this is 1975. It shows the old plant. This is the YMCA camp, and the it's an oxidation ditch in the ground. It's like an activated sewage treatment facility. It has microorganisms that travel around, and we call it a racetrack because it has the shape of a racetrack, and there's a paddle wheel that aerates it and keeps the circulation going. There's a small clarifier here, a chlorine contact basin, and sludge drying beds. Then the discharge goes down a road and over the bank into the Eel River during the winter periods. This photo shows the previous practice. In the summertime, they used to construct a percolation basin in the gravel of the river here. And this is May 22. The prohibition period starts May 15th. And you can barely see it here. And this shows in 1995 where they rebuilt their facility. This is a brand new above ground concrete racetrack, very similar to the one that was in ground. New clarifier. You can see the size of this. This is under construction, but the size is significantly larger than the old one. And new sludge drying beds. This is just on the ground shot of the new racetrack with activated sludge in it. And a newer drying bed, concrete. And then I explained to you, we issued the complaint for $18,000. At the time we issued the complaint, we used a pretty standard figure of $10,000 to defray staff costs. They vary from project to project. And here again, we don't know what the actual number is going to be because we haven't gone through to the end of the compliance project. However, in the order you have before you, no, not in the order. It's actually in here. We've tallied up what we've come up to as of this date, and it's $8,000. No, wait a minute. Let me get to it here. It is $8,000. It's $7,800, the actual cost for staff to go through the monitoring reports, tally up the violations, issue the complaint, public hearing notices and reviews and all that stuff. We asked the district initially to pay $10,000. The district said, no, that's too much. We don't want to pay anything towards the staff costs. And we reconsidered and went back and added them up and said, well, no, it hasn't come to $10,000. It might when we're done, but in view of the size of the penalty, how about if you pay $3,000? And they said, no, we won't. There was more correspondence back and forth and additional meetings. And so now with the additional staff costs, we've recommended that the board adopt an order requiring a payment of $4,000 into the cleanup and abatement account, and then allowing a compliance project for $14,000. And that's the staff position on it at this point. I wanted to point out to you the table that we handed out to you. It's a summary of enforcement actions, primarily mandatory minimum penalties. There are some discretionary penalty actions in here, but it's primarily small communities with MMPs, and it shows the amount in the fourth column that was assessed as a total penalty, and in the last column, how much the community paid into the cleanup and abatement account to defray staff costs. It's standard practice for requiring entities to pay into the cleanup and abatement account. The cleanup and abatement account, as you know, is used for various types of cleanups statewide. Here in our region, we used it in West College to provide alternate water supplies to people in the area and to investigate the plume until we had a responsible party to take over. We took $900,000 out of the cleanup and abatement account to do that. Just last month, we took more money out of the cleanup and abatement account to do 12 GeoProbe borings in downtown Santa Rosa to try to locate a problem we've had for many decades in the storm drain down B Street that empties into Santa Rosa Creek. We've used it for various reasons here in the region. It's used statewide. And these payments into the cleanup and abatement account help to keep that fund viable and available for our use.
You mentioned that's not staff cost, that's just the cleanup and abatement.
Yeah, and as you saw here in my presentation, at this point we've expended $7,800 in actual staff costs and overhead to bring this to you. We're not asking that you require the district to cover all of those costs. This last column here, payments to the cleanup and abatement account, they generally don't cover all of the staff costs. We're just looking for a portion of the payment to help defray that and help keep the cleanup and abatement account viable. So we're not asking that you assess the Redway CSD the total $8,000 to cover staff costs to date. We're asking that you assess a $4,000 penalty payment to the cleanup and abatement account. It would cover about half of them. That's the issue, and the district is here to make a presentation to you. They did submit comments. It's the purple. There's a letter, two-page letter from the district, and the remainder of that comment is their proposal for a compliance project. And that concludes my presentation.
Do board members have any questions of the enforcement team? Okay. Does the district have any questions of the staff at this time, of the enforcement team? Okay. And does the advisory staff have questions?
As it turns out, yes, Catherine Coleman. Tom, could you explain how you calculate costs, staff costs?
Certainly. The formula that we use is used in the state cost recovery program when the staff, any of state staff, whether it be state board or regional board, staff works on a cleanup. It could be any type of cleanup. But the cost recovery program has a formula where you start with the staff person's hourly wage, and then you add in a factor for benefits, holidays, you know, all that type of stuff. And then you add in another factor for indirect costs, which is our basic operating overhead, our O&E expenses, operating and expenses, you know, rent and phones and travel and that kind of stuff. And so we use this formula, starting with the staff hourly wage. And actually, about a year and a half ago, we put together a database where whenever we work on a project, we enter that into the database so we can keep track of our hours. And then we use the multiplying factors, and we actually come up with a dollar amount. So lately, we haven't been pulling that out of the air. You look at this table, and you'll see some of the older ones where a penalty assessment of $2,600 or $390 is in there. And that preceded this method, where we didn't have an accounting before. And they were terribly inaccurate ways of doing this. So from now on, this is what you're getting from us.
Any of the parties have follow-up questions based upon the answer? Okay. I believe it would be up for the Redway Community Services District if you want to testify. If you do, please state your name that you've been sworn in as you begin.
My name is Virginia Graziani. I'm chairman of the board of the Redway Community Services District Board of Directors. I have been sworn in. I want to thank Mr. Dunbar for his presentation and the beautiful pictures of our wastewater treatment plant. It's a very scenic wastewater treatment plant. My board prepared this statement and asked me to make this presentation to you on our behalf. The Board of Directors of the Redway Community Services District acknowledges that there have been several occurrences of discharge violations at our wastewater treatment facilities. The serious violations were results from two separate days of testing 4 months apart in 2003. The results of the suspended solids tests were not received until the end of the month, and at that point, additional sampling to average the monthly results was not available. To date, similar violations have not occurred, and we are trying to improve the treatment process to reduce the possibility of similar violations. We have committed $98,000 towards a project to reduce the amount of solids in the treatment process and enhance the ability to dry greater volumes of solids in less time. And I want to add that originally when we first talked to our engineers about a compliance project, they thought that they proposed something that would have been a much lower cost than that, about $18,000 to $20,000. But when they came out and looked at the facility and really took a good look at our facility, they realized this would not work. It would not be adequate to solve the problem. So we went to a much more costly project, which should work much more effectively for us, but it does greatly increase our costs. And that money, by the way, will come from our reserve fund, from our capital reserves. Redway CSD has always cooperated with the Regional Water Quality Control Board and its staff. Staff visits have been for routine inspection or testing the quality of the treatment process for many years. Redway CSD believes that the administrative charges for our situation should be minimal, requiring minimal time from your staff. Progress reports, photographs, and inspections could be coordinated with your staff to use their time most efficiently. And we represent a community that has complied with all orders of the Water Quality Control Board. We also request your consideration of the low median income of our small district. The most recent U.S. Census states that our median household income is about $27,000, well below the U.S. average of approximately $42,000 for the same census. And we have about 550 residences that we serve in Redway. And about 90 to 100 non-residential connections, many, not all of which are on sewer. Many of our customers are on fixed income or they have less than average incomes, so we do try to keep our rates affordable. Our current base rate for water and sewer combined for residential properties is $48.50 a month, which comes to $580 a year, about 2% of the minimum income. Of course, Customers do pay more if they use more water to take care of their families' needs. Therefore, we are asking for total relief from administrative fines so that we can apply all of our penalty amount towards the engineering and construction of our compliance project, which will be completed, we hope, we expect, by December 31st. We believe that funds not paid out of our operating budget would be put to more appropriate use in our district. And I thank you very much for your consideration. And our operations manager, Ken Dean, is here if you have technical questions to ask him. And I will try to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Do board members have any questions? Does the enforcement team have any questions? Oh, I'm sorry. Board Member Massey.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. When was the last time you raised rates?
About a year ago, we raised water rates. We have not raised sewer rates for quite some time.
Okay, so the combined is $48.50.
$48.50.
Which is about $5.50 a year.
Yes, about $5.80 a year.
$5.80
but that's
a year.
A flat rate. When people use over 1,000 cubic feet, they're charged an additional dollar, I believe, for every 100 cubic feet that they use. And sewer usage is tied to water usage, obviously, so the two things go together.
Only because I'm very, very familiar with one system that is on this table, and we built a tertiary treatment system with a low-income community, and they are paying over $1,000 a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Still a low-income community. So
yeah.
I understand the angst of raising rates, but that's fairly low compared to large systems and certainly compared to others.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other board questions or comments? Okay, back to the enforcement team. Did you have any questions?
No.
And to our advisory staff?
None.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who desires to testify in this matter? If not, then I'll close the public hearing. We'll begin board deliberations.
Mr. Chair, I hate to do this to small systems, but I would move that we adopt the recommendation of the staff.
Is there a second?
Well, for purposes of any discussion, I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and second for purposes of discussion. So, Mr. Dunker, do you want to begin the discussion?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, just so that we understand, my understanding, and perhaps I want to clarify this. The staff recommendation is for $4,000 worth of cleanup and abatement fund and the other $14,000 as part of the compliance project, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Tom Dunbar.
Well, it appears to me the district's spending the $98,000 to get into compliance. They appear to be working in good faith to get to this point where they're no longer discharging. I believe that our intent is to make sure that the waters stay clean, and they're working in that direction, and I commend them for that. I don't believe that the $3,000 or $4,000, I think it's $4,000 we're asking for in this case, is much of a hardship to ask for. I understand there's 500 families, I think, was that, or households. So that's it's not much to ask for.
Are there any other board comments? Or okay, if I don't hear any, did Does advisory staff have any?
If I could just clarify the law here, the board's decision to allow compliance schedule, okay, the penalties are mandatory, and the decision to allow compliance schedule is within the board's discretion, and the decision to allocate staff costs is also within the board's discretion. But as a policy matter, we generally apply staff cost across the board throughout the region.
Any other matters of discussion? I'm going to call the question then. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say nay. Abstentions? The motion carries at $4,000. Thank you for your time, and we appreciate your efforts. And I also just want to say, in the aspects of good government, to have a reserve fund, a lot of districts don't think that far ahead of time, and you're to be commended for doing that. And then I wanted an agenda clarification, but is the next item shelter